Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. Now I'm at the very fancy new headquarters of Telkom subsidiary BCX in Centurion today to talk to Telkom Group CEO Sipho Maseko. Telkom this morning published its interim results for the 6 months to September 2017, which showed its fixed line segment under pressure, but its mobile business continuing to perform strongly. Sipho, thanks for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today.
No, thank you, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about fixed lines first. The number of fixed broadband subscribers have dipped below a million, which must be somewhat concerning to you. You're facing a real challenge in that space from the likes of Vumatel and a dozen or two dozen other fiber providers. You've recently announced price cuts, introduced new products on the fixed line side. What's the prognosis for that business, given how competitive the market is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will probably continue to be under pressure. We see that. I think that also as wireless technology gets better in the form of LTE, it will provide a credible alternative to customers. Why do I say that? It's a little modem or router. You are able to take it and put it in your car. When you go on holiday, you can plug it in and it works. The download speeds are still very, very strong. But we think that in the long run, the fixed network is still going to be the solution for the huge amount of data traffic that will still come through the networks. As the mobile wireless networks get more and more congested, those speeds will become increasingly difficult to maintain and sustain unless you'll be spending quite a big amount of capex to build out the infrastructure. So for us, we see this in a sense as a bit of a blip. We still think that in the long term, the logic and the sustainability for fixed line broadband is there.
Right. So just take us through some of the numbers. You've got 999,000 fixed line customers at the moment.
Yeah.
I think I read the figure for fiber was sitting at around 73,000 odd.
Of homes connected.
Of homes connected.
Yeah.
How many homes have you passed with fiber?
So we've passed 300,000 homes with fiber. So we're seeing a connection rate of about 24-25%.
And that's improved on the last set of numbers.
Which has absolutely improved. The last set of numbers were probably at the higher teens.
Yeah.
Just in year, in this calendar year, we're seeing a connection rate of about 40%. So that momentum is growing. But naturally, it's quite a tedious program to implement on.
Yeah.
The bigger the estates, the bigger the houses, the more the more difficult it is to be able to deploy. So we see that continuing. We think the size of the market max will be about a million homes. But we're also spending quite a lot of investment in rehabilitating the network. Making sure that the copper is good enough and bring the fiber as close as possible to the copper network, which we think will also still further enhance the useful life of the copper network. The copper network has been with us for a long, long, long time. And where we have to renew it or modernize it, I think it's probably the right time to do that.
Okay. Just walk us through what the opportunity is here as Telkom sees it. So 300,000 homes passed with fiber. What is the ultimate market size and what percentage of that market market do you think Telkom is capable of taking?
So we think the ultimate market size is probably about 1 million homes. Other people have a different view to about 1.5 million. We would like to have probably about 50% of that market. We think that we'll be able to get there quite easily. It's a very capital intensive program, so you need to be very thoughtful about your capital deployment plans, and that is why we would probably want to take a pause around 1 million homes passed and see what the uptake actually looks like before we can take it beyond that number.
Okay. Now, I think they're your major competitor in the space. Vumatel has announced they're also going to go into township markets and start to offer uncapped broadband at very low cost. Is that an opportunity for Telkom as well? Do you think they're barking up the wrong tree?
Well, I mean, it's a company we respect. They're a competitor and they're formidable. They're very, very good at what they do. And we think that all of us, and to be very, very open about it, I don't get indigestion with entities like Vumatel coming into the market. We've learned a lot from them in the last couple of months that they've been trading. They've made us better players. We're learning what it means to compete. We never used to know how to do that as a company, and now we're learning that. We're learning to innovate. We watch what they do. We sure they watch what we do. We think the township market, you can. We don't think that's the most efficient way to access it. We think LTE will probably be the very efficient way to access that market. We have loads and loads of LTE spectrum, which we would want to leverage, and I think we'll beat a slightly different path.
Okay, fair enough. Now, do you believe there's need for consolidation in the fiber market? Would Telkom be able to or be allowed to play a role in that consolidation if it were to happen?
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer, Duncan. Part of the reason why we have federated our business is that the consolidation play, in our view, may take a slightly different path. Is there potential consolidation between what BCX does and somebody else, maybe. And I think the way in which we fragmented it gives us the right sort of flexibility to partner or to do M&A deals, not with the totality of the Telkom group, but with each of the business units that would be able to realize that without raising unnecessary consolidation concerns because of the sheer size of what the consolidated group would look like.
Okay, so if there was consolidation, you'd be interested in potentially taking part in it?
Yeah, well, we obviously are looking at all times. At the right price, we are buyers. We are buyers at the right price on the mobile network side. We're buyers on the content side. We're buyers on the sort of application side in enterprise. But also we are sellers as well. So some of the businesses that we don't think we can continue to extract value from them, we certainly continue to assess and evaluate whether does it still make sense for us to keep those businesses if somebody else can extract more value from those businesses.
Well, let's talk about the mobile side of things, because that seems to be where a lot of the action is happening. Yeah. Certainly, the mobile business is continuing to do very well for Telkom. Service revenue up over 40%. But Telkom is still relatively subscale next to the other three operators. Yeah. Do you keep your head down there and just keep focusing on outgrowing your rivals? Or is there a need for some kind of consolidation? You showed interest in buying Cell C at one point. There's some talk in the market about whether you were a serious bidder or not. But if there has to be consolidation, how do you see it happening? And what would be allowed to happen?
Yeah, I mean, we all companies, I'm sure, have a couple of scenarios. We have our own scenario. We think the market will inevitably have to consolidate at a certain point in time. Our view is that this will end up potentially being a sort of three-player market rather than a four-player market. But then that would also include other fringe players like Liquid and Rain and all of those guys. We see them almost being a core part of how that consolidation will play itself out. We see ourselves in that mix as well as part of that consolidation frenzy that will come. And we think that the market is ready for that. We think the market is ready for that. you know, as the cost to communicate challenges begin to grow, as scale and operating costs begin to be pressured, as margins come under pressure, it is an inevitable inquiry around consolidation in the mobile network. And for us, we are constantly in the lookout on what would be the best possible option for our own shareholders.
Right. Yeah. Do you keep mobile, though? If there's an option on the table, someone comes along and offers you a great price for your mobile business, would you consider selling it, or is mobile integral to your strategy going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way in which Telkom will morph, Duncan, over the next few years is that each of the businesses, in a sense, will have their own standalone strategy. Mm-hmm. So our consumer business will have their own standalone strategy independent of BCX, and so would BCX independent of OpenServe and consumer. So how we look at consolidation, therefore, is in terms of a natural segment or natural ecosystem. And I don't think that in the consumer world it is possible to sell everything and not sell mobile. And we think a consolidation play would likely have to include our sort of mobile and fixed retail element of the business. On the enterprise side, consolidation may take a different shade altogether. On the open serve side, I mean, I don't think, given just our significant market power, I'm not sure whether we can be able to do much on the consolidation side there. But I think in some of the other parts of the business, there would be flexibility.
With the government now talking about selling part or possibly all of its 39% odd stake in Telkom, if that were to happen, which now seems likely, if that were to happen, would it make the consolidation of this industry easier?
Well, I think it would contribute. I think that a lot of people look at the possibility of having government as a partner, and they may have different views about what that means for them. I think that we've been able to manage our relationship with government reasonably well, but I think even that move in itself has quite a lot of strategic implications, as you say, including consolidation, including, you know, foreign players looking to come in. And for us, therefore, it's always been important that whatever method government follows, whether partial or full disposal of their shares, they're thoughtful about how do they do it in a way that's organized and disciplined, number one. And if it's a limited universe of potential buyers they want to sell to, how do they do so in a way that will advance the strategic agenda of the company?
Are you aware of anyone stepping forward at this time to express an interest in potentially buying those shares, say an international operator or someone
else? I'm not. I don't think that government would share with us their universe of buyers. But at least as a principle, what we've agreed is that they'll be very disciplined around it. They understand what are the strategic implications, and whatever solution they look for, it needs to contribute towards making sure it addresses the strategic challenges of the company.
Without government as a shareholder, do you believe that that's net positive for Telkom or net negative?
Well, I'm agnostic about it, because government has not been a factor in terms of how we thought about strategy, in terms of how we executed, in terms of how we ran our governance processes, in terms of how we ran our product processes, etc. So they have not been involved at all. Government does not choose board members. Government does not have a say in terms of how we run the firm. So I don't see that changing at all. It may well be that for those that are not close enough, it may help ease their concerns. But for us, as people who are managing the company, we've never been concerned about it, because I think the rules of engagement have been very clear from the very beginning. We run the company. We work with the board to determine the strategy. If the shareholder has concerns, there's a process through which we engage with shareholders, and the shareholders don't tell us what to do. They share with us what their views are. And we obviously would consider that, and if it makes strategic sense, we incorporate it into our thinking. If it doesn't make strategic sense, we don't incorporate it into our thinking. We beat a different path.
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about spectrum. It's such an important issue. Firstly, the wholesale open access network, which you spoke about briefly in your presentation to analysts earlier. Do you support the concept?
Well, I mean, it's there. All right, it's there, and it's there forcefully.
It sounds like a no.
It's there forcefully. It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends when it gets fleshed out. What does it mean? How is it going to work? How is it going to be capitalized? What are the rules? So there's still a lot more to do there. There's still a lot more to do. We don't think that it would be proper for us to reject it out of hand. We need to understand really what government wants to achieve with it. But more importantly, once it's conceptualized it, how practical is it to implement? And quite a lot of great ideas have not been practical to implement. And in the end, what we need to be able to do is not just to chase being unique or amongst the unique in the world, but actually do things in such a way that it's quite easy to implement, it's practical, and it helps solve our issues that we have to contend with in the market. So too early to tell until there's a lot more information about what it is that they want to achieve with this wholesale open access network.
I mean, ICASA wants to go for a spectrum auction and just auction off the spectrum to the highest bidders. Yeah. If the country were to go that route, do you think we'd achieve similar outcomes in the end?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that ICASA itself needs to really understand what its mandate is. One of the core elements of its mandate is to make sure that there is the right competitive playing field so that the overall market structure is sustainable in the long term. We don't have an issue in itself with the idea of auctioning, but for us, it is important that ICASA and the department really spell out what is the end game scenario and market structure that they're working towards. Because for as long as we don't know what is the market structure that we are working towards, all of these things will feel very random. The country needs money, so therefore let's auction spectrum. Or two dominant players have run out of capacity, so therefore let's auction spectrum. And I think for me, it is going to be quite expedient to do that. But in the long run, we'll find ourselves potentially with a lot of structural issues. Mm-hmm. So for us, it is that what is the landscape that we want to see? What sort of market structure do we want to see? How do we therefore regulate for it? And how do we make sure that once you have that market structure, you continue to innovate, you continue to invest, you continue to meet some of your social outcomes that you are looking for as well?
You have a big chunk of spectrum in 2.3 gigahertz, which has allowed you to do some really interesting things with LTE. Yeah. You've also got some spectrum at 1800 megahertz. But what you don't have, which all the other operators have, is spectrum below 1 gigahertz. Yeah. And I know you've spoken about this on many occasions in the past. Let's say the TV migration project is finished and Telkom is given a big chunk of digital dividend spectrum around 800 megahertz. What will that allow you to do that you're not doing at the moment?
Well, I mean, what it will allow us to do is to get a much deeper indoor penetration than we currently have. So that will it will change the CapEx profile because of the nature of the spectrum that we have. Our CapEx deployment has to be a lot more intense given just the nature of the spectrum that we have. I think that we also will be able to bring our fixed play into it where we can be able to propagate through small cells and provide quite a much more powerful Wi-Fi coverage. So there's quite a lot of things that we think we can do. But I mean, you know what? If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. We still don't have the spectrum. So we've got to work with what we have.
Right, yeah. Right. We still need to finish digital TV migration, of course.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's move on and talk a bit about the restructuring of Telkom, which you went into a lot of detail at the last set of results and perhaps expanded on it a little bit today. But at the full year results, I think it was back in June, you said that Telkom would be restructured into a new Remgro-style head office with a new name, yeah, and then a range of subsidiary businesses, including Gyro Group, yeah, the holding the property and tower portfolio, BCX in IT services, and Telkom as the go-to-market consumer brand.
Yeah.
What progress has there been in that restructuring, and do you have a name for the new holding company yet?
Not yet, actually. I'm supposed to meet with a couple of people in the company to finalize the name. I mean, we're obviously considering this. The strategic intent remains. We're still implementing on the journey. We also need to make sure that we do it in a very tax-efficient way. The Gyro creation has proved to be very complex because all of these properties were owned by Telkom. So by moving them to Gyro, do you trigger a transfer duty, number one, because it's from one owner to another? Is there capital gains tax? So we've been very, very thoughtful about just how do we manage that migration. And that is why it's kind of felt like it's slowing down. But internally, we're beginning to run the company as if these were subsidiaries, both in terms of the governance structures, the allocation, capital allocation processes, the performance management processes. So that's on track. And I can assure you, with Google being the witness, that once we've decided the name, you'll probably be one of the first people to know that.
Great. Well, I was kind of hoping you were going to announce it on this podcast right here, but I didn't suppose that was going to happen.
It will be a podcast, I promise you that, yeah.
So, I mean, particularly interested in Gyro, which you actually did spend quite a bit of time talking about in your presentation today. You've appointed a new CEO there. Yeah. That announcement was made this week.
Yeah.
We've seen Cell C sell off its tower assets to, I think it was, American Tower Corporation. MTN has done similar things in many of its markets in Africa. It hasn't done it specifically here in South Africa, but you tend to find the smaller operators tend to sell off at least their passive tower infrastructure. Is that something that you're considering? What is the thinking behind whether or not to sell that infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, for us, that is why when we were looking at this business, we were not solving a funding problem. Excluding our mobile business, Telkom generates jolly good cash. And now with mobile essentially having broken even, we don't think that just disposing of the towers and getting a ton of cash is the solution. And we're looking for slightly more alternative long-term value creation options. We are obviously at the same time quite cognizant that we may not have the capabilities of doing that. And that is why we have been putting together a team of people that have the right property experience, the right, whether it's property development, whether it's tower management. The new CEO worked in the US, where the whole area of tower management and developments as well is one of the things that he's done. And if we don't think we can add value, or the property team, the Gyro team, can add value to that business, then we'll be able to look at potential divestments of that real estate. So for us, it is, we think even that market will consolidate, the tower market. Mm-hmm. And we would not have a problem being at the heart of that as well, actually through our Gyro business, mm-hmm, to provide tower services and property services across the region. And I think that also helps us with a lot of things, actually, Duncan. It also helps us with managing our M&A approach sensibly. One of the reasons why when we went to Nigeria, we almost lost the whole company, is that the Nigeria foray had actually nothing to do with OpenServe, had nothing to do with Gyro, but we mortgaged essentially the entire company, mm-hmm, to meet what would have been a consumer, semi-ego trip. But actually, this structure then allows us to have very, very clear views on how do you grow, and the way in which consumer grows does not have to impact the way in which OpenServe may want to grow. Yeah.
Sipho, before I let you go, you've been with Telkom now for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
You've achieved a hell of a lot in that time. You've stabilized the business and you've got it onto a much more solid footing. What's next beyond the restructuring? Do you believe you still have a lot of work to do here, or is Sipho Maseko going to be looking for new opportunities soon?
No, I'm going to be here. I like the place. I still enjoy being here. There's still a lot more to do. It has not crossed my mind one bit in terms of moving on. I still enjoy the trek from Joburg to Centurion. So for as long as that lasts, you know, I'll be here. There's still a lot more to do. Telkom Duncan is a fascinating company. There's still a lot more to do. I think the things that we'll probably achieve on the BCX side are very special. I think consumer is very stable now. The things that they're doing, the innovation, the new energy, and I think OpenServe as well will come along. I mean, the people that have let us down in these numbers is BCX and OpenServe. Consumer literally carried us forward. But everyone begins to realize that they need to chip in in a very credible way. And just seeing all of that and people beginning to take ownership and accountability and a new energy in the firm. And I want to be part of that.
Great. Well, Sipho Maseko is Group CEO of Telkom. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me, Duncan.